Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for his goodness this morning. I thank God for being in the house of God. I thank God for being back to our Christian education and getting our back to our regular services. We're starting to take the chairs down and sit them back like they're supposed to be. And it's just good to be in the house of God and have the blessings of the Lord. God is a good God. I need my mic to work.
Amen.
I guess it's going to come on. That's okay, we'll press on. I thank God for the word of God today. And I was looking at this morning. I just want to go to Romans for a few minutes today and glorify God. I thank God so much for salvation and for being saved. And I thank the Lord for how he's brought us and how he's kept us. Let's look at Romans for a few minutes today. Romans about chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, Minister Smith Kentucky, and I was thinking this morning, God is the first person, when we look at God in Ephesians with his foreknowledge and foreordained, really, God is the ultimate person in Planned Parenthood.
Oh,
amen. Yes.
He really laid it out what he would do for us before we had it. I would hope that all young people would learn to do the same thing and figure out what they're going to do with their kids before they get them.
Yes.
Well, God really worked it out and had it worked out for us before the foundation of the world. I'm looking at Romans, the 6th chapter, for a few minutes today. And verse number, Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. I love it because when we talk about God and the Spirit of God, and we talk about, there's one thing I like about the Lord, and I wish we were better at it, especially in churches, and I'm looking at all the new churches and the young churches, and I'm excited about the people when I watch them on TV with their worship and all the young people and how they're really going on in God and how they have their hands up and how they're, you know, the music is there. It's different from what I grew up doing, but you know, as long as they're glorifying God and praising God, I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And I like that they do that, and really, I like doing that in here, and I appreciate the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. And you know, no more, you know, we don't do, our intentions are good, and people mean well, but you know, we have to practice the perfect liberty that's in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And by that, and when we do that, then we have to trust that the people are going to come to the point where they love God enough that they'll obey God and worship God.
Yes.
And then if you decide that you don't love God enough to worship God, then I'm just so sorry for you.
Yeah.
Yes. There's, you know, when Paul writes in, when he writes in 1 Thessalonians and he tells them about people who've passed, he says, but people who... when people die and they're in Christ, he says, you ought not feel so bad about them as you do for people who die who don't have Christ.
Right.
It is a sad thing when someone dies and they don't have the Lord. And you know what we do? We go to church when they're laying out here in front of us, and we try and preach them into heaven. By saying all the great things that we did while, you know, they did this for me and they were good for the people. And I went to a funeral one time, and the man was preaching and said, well, Sister so-and-so, she was really great. She dry cleaned all my suits and did all these things. Well, I think that's wonderful if you want to reach out and do that. But none of those things take the place of being in God.
No.
And if the sadness is, I mean, there's a gladness that comes.
Yes.
When you, for all of us who are really saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, there's a joy that comes when you know, when you come to the reality that when someone dies, they went to heaven and they live, and if they were sick, they're not sick now.
Yes.
And if they were poor, they're not poor now. And if they were going through a lot of stresses and strains, they're not going through it now. And whatever earth brings, because earth brings its woe, they're not going through it now. There's a joy that comes.
Yes.
Especially when, you know, when they went through for a long time, and there's a refreshing, and you look at them sometime when they're older, and now you know they've got that youthful looking and more about. There's a joy that comes with doing that. It's so great for them to have. So when we look at God and how God plans for us in Romans the 6th chapter, And it talks about this, when we really get a hold to it, you know, God is not willing that any should perish or any should be lost. This is something God makes paramount, and the joy that He gives us and how He brings us. He says in Romans the sixth chapter, 8th chapter, and 14th verse. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody that will allow the Holy Ghost to come in becomes a son of God." Or they use the male term here, but it means a person of God, a woman of God, a child of God. Everybody who's led by the Spirit. In other words, everybody in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, everybody who will give the Spirit an opportunity in your life. You are a child of God. Yes. You belong to God.
Amen.
You belong. Everybody in whom the Holy Spirit, you are. You belong to God.
Yes.
And at the same time, that we say this, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter to me how much church you've been to, and I pray you've been to a lot. And I pray you keep on going to church. Yes. And you know, I'm never going to say to someone, "Well, if you ain't going to be saved, you may as well stop coming." No, keep on coming. Because at some point in time, you never know when someone might say the right word, might touch the right, you know, the Lord, you know, he's trying to find you out and find a spot where he can come in and get to some point where you'll finally listen. So, you know, I would never say to somebody, "Well, you may as well quit." Then, no, keep on coming.
Keep on listening, keep on dialing in.
You know, I can say to everybody who's Zoom this morning, well, you know, if you ain't done nothing by now, you may as well stop. No, keep on zooming in. Come on in. You know, I'm not saying that people on Zoom are not saved by any chance. I'm glad for you to keep on watching. But keep on coming.
Yes.
I would never tell anyone, it doesn't matter, you know, you've been, you know, I would say to the axe murderer, "Well, he's an axe murderer. What are you going to say to him?" Well, you can still have God.
Yes.
You need to go to jail, but you can still have God.
Yes.
So I would say to anybody, you know, encourage them. Keep on coming.
Yes.
No matter what. Don't give it. And to the people who are coming, those of you who heard the word of God and you stretched out your hand a little bit timidly, and you know, I would never say to anybody, "But you have little faith." No, if you have any faith at all, maybe it's not great. But let it grow. Keep on coming.
That's right.
Keep on doing it. So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, all those who will allow the Spirit to influence them.
Yes.
Everybody in whom the Spirit has some say, you know, there are many of us, and hopefully I'm one of them, who allow the Spirit more entrance into our life. We allow him to influence us more. We listen to him more. We allow him to influence what we do more. We think about him more. We give him more space. We recognize the Holy Spirit more. We allow him, you know, we allow him to permeate our lives and lead us and guide us. When he says go, we might always do it, but we try most of the time to go. And when he says stop, we try to stop.
Amen. Yes.
He's in us and he influences us and he leads us. And this leading and guiding has to be with our permission and our allowing. The Spirit is saying, "This is the way you need to go, and this is what you need to do." And he's the Holy Spirit, so he knows all things. There's nothing hidden from him. And God is light and no darkness at all.
Yes.
You'll never ask the Spirit something and he'll say, "Well, I don't know about that." He always knows.
He knows.
He's leading and he stands there and he says, "Come on with me."
Yes.
"And I will work this out." And "Come on with me." And "This is the way of God. This is what you should know, and this is what you're going." And when you allow him to do that, you're being led by him and influenced by him. Lord, it's like David. David, when he comes back from Ziklag, and all his family has been carried away, and he come in, and I think it's the Amalekites, if it's not, it's the Philistines, it's one of the two. And all this, and while he's out fighting a battle for God, you know, it's like if I'm over here now this morning in worship at the house, at this house of God, and while I'm over here, somebody's robbing our house. I pray it or not. But David is out battling, and he's on the battlefield. And while he's gone, then the Amalekites and Philistines, whichever one it was, I think it's Philistines, they come in and take all this stuff and all the children, all the wives. You know, that's a hurtful thing. All the men are upset, all of them upset, and someone would say, "Well, why am I even doing this for God? Well, I may as well give up." Or other ones will say, we need to jump up and run. But before David goes out, since David knows that the Spirit knows the right thing to do, and God knows the right thing to do, David doesn't do anything, but he goes in and asks God. And he asks God, what do I need to do? Because when I do something, I want it to work. When I move, I move for it to work out. Anybody can jump up and run all over here. We're going to fight, run into a trap. Or we can just shut it down and say, hey, we're just going to get new wives. But I want to know what the right thing is to do. And when I do something, I'm going to go to the person who knows what I want to do. And David asked God, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? Is this what I need to do? You need to always ask God. Boy, you make decisions in your life. You know, I don't have to ask God about what color paint to put on my walls, because if I put the wrong color on there, sooner or later, I'm going to get tired of it. And that won't affect my life. I don't even have, you know, but I do need to ask God when it's a life-influencing decision. Is this what I need to do? Is this the best way to spend money that I'm going to need on down the road?
Right.
How shall I go about this? And how shall I? Because it might look good today, but how does it show up 4 years, 5 years, 6 years from now? It's going to come back. And the only person who knows the answer to that is God.
Amen.
He
knows tomorrow.
People can speculate and say, this is going to happen and that's not. It might happen and it might not. But the person who can say this is going to happen, and I guarantee you, when he says this is going to happen or not happen, it is God. And David gets up, and he goes into the house of God, goes into the temple, and he consults the Urim and the Thummim, which represents, you know, who God chooses through. And he asks God, what do I need to do? What's the right thing to do that's going to work things out? Shall I pursue? Will that work things out? And the Lord said, go, and I'll be with you. And when David goes, he gets ready to go, and 200 of the people who are with him decide, we can't go with you. You know what it's like to be planning on something, and the people you're planning on working with, a third of them decide, hey, look, we ain't going to go. We're not going to show up. Listen to me. People are people. And David knows that. That's why he forgives them. Somebody else would have been mad with him. A lot of his men would have been mad with him forever, even when they came back. The other two-thirds that went with him, you know what they did to Korah? They got mad with him. They said, well, we ain't going to give them nothing we got then. Because they would go with us, we ain't going to give them nothing. But that's not the way of the Lord. I'm so glad God doesn't reward me according to my iniquities and according to what I do. God does it according to him. And David gets up, and a third of the people decide they're not going to go with him. And it doesn't change his mind, because God said, if you go, I'll go with you. And David takes that 400 of the 600, leaves that 200 that can't go. You know, sometimes, you know, don't let, when God tells you to do something, don't let people stop you. Go on in God, and it'll work out. Just make sure you got God. And David gets up and goes in God anyway, because God said go, and he recovered all. Brought everything back. He was led by the Spirit. He says in this, if you are led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage. It's not like God is dragging me along. That's what, you know, some people, they, everything they do, you got to pull them. You have to beg them to come. You know, it shouldn't ever be that someone would say, are you going to be in church on Sunday? And somebody would say, well, you know, I might try to come. I'm going to talk about it our life here. Shouldn't have to even ask. Especially if God has ever blessed you, the Spirit has ever been with you, the Spirit has ever led you, if you've ever had a miracle, if you've ever had a healing, shouldn't even be a question. If someone says, well, will you be there? It should be only asking, because sometimes you work on Sunday. Sometimes you have to go on Sunday. Then the question can be asked just because of the scheduling. But it should never be because of whether or not you want to be in God or not.
Yeah, amen. Yes. That's right.
God has not given us a spirit of bondage, whereby we, you know, a spirit of bondage, again, to fear. In other words, we do what we do in God because we're afraid. I go to church on Sunday. You know, I go to church on Sunday so everything will be all right up during the week. Well, that's okay if you say that to faith. But if the reason why you come is because you're afraid God's going to rain down fire on you, then you've been led by fear.
Yes.
One time, I'm almost done. I was flying back from Turkey. And the devil, Mother Watson, as many times as I've gone down there, The devil was really fighting me, and he was saying to me, you know, your plane is not going to make it back to Germany. And I mean, Ella Smith could tell you, I was flying all the time.
Yes.
But somehow or another, I'd gone down there. We had a Bible study, and Sister Karen was there, and we had a Bible. Well, she wasn't there that time. Yes, she was. And we had a Bible study. Might not have been her. Might have been Sister Barry. But we'd gone down there, and I had a Bible study, and the Lord had blessed us. And Turkey, you know, and where we are in Turkey is on the other side of what used to be what's Tarsus, where Saul is from.
Yes.
And I was flying back on these 141s, and somehow or another, I got this fear that came over me. Your plane's not going to make it back. Your plane's not going to make it back. Your plane's not going to make it back. And finally, the Spirit said to me, he got tired of me. God got tired of me whining and carrying on. God got tired of me. But, you know, God is nice. So he said to me, hey, he said, you see all these other people around here that don't even know God? I said, yeah. He said, they're flying every day. Their planes ain't falling.
Yeah.
Why would yours?
Yes, amen.
You got God.
Yes.
And you know what? I thought about that thing. I got on that plane. And Sean, God really needed that. What God was telling me was, Ella Smith, he was saying to me, you need to make up your mind that I'm with you.
Yes.
Because I have never got on a plane in my life before, since it was raggedier than that plane. It was an old 141. I mean, it shook and it creaked and it crawled and then we didn't have a regular Air Force crew flying. Had a reserve crew flying. And they didn't look like they knew what they were doing. I needed the Lord. He was warning me. But his voice kept coming back to me saying, all these other people fly, and they don't even have God.
Yeah.
Every time I started working, he'd come back and say, look, you got God. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. The Spirit kept telling me, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. David asked God, he said, Lord, if I go up, am I going to win? And the Lord said, yes, you will. Lord, we have not been given a spirit. We're not being led because someone's making us come. I'm not in church this morning because anybody make me come. I'm here because I love God. I didn't get up and come over here. You know, you come day in and day out. Anybody can talk about loving God when they got a church full of people. Church makes all kinds of money. Got this program, got that program, got all that going. Oh, and success. Anybody act like they love God. But when you only got a few people, not that we desire that to be, but the point of it is you can prove yourself whether or not you love God.
That's true. Yes.
As many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, and we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Don't let people put you in bondage.
That's right.
That ain't God.
That ain't
tell
God.
You what you better do, how you better come. No, what we need to say to people is you need to come. Because you need God.
Yeah.
But we have received a spirit, but he's given us a spirit of adoption. They need to say to us, come because you belong to God. Come because God's your father. Come because God's your helper. Come because God's your deliverer. Come because God is your savior. Come because God will bring you out. Come because God will fix it. Come because God will step in. Come because God will help you. Come because God will be there. You need God, not just now, but you're going to need God forever. Come because you have to have everlasting life. Show up because God will show up. Come because you belong to him. Come because he's your father. Come because he's your son. That's what we need to say. I have not been given. I'm a priest because I have a spirit of bondage, but I have a spirit of adoption.
Yes.
I belong to God. Whereby I cry, my father, my father.
Yes.
Abba, father.
Abba,
and I'm an heir and a joint heir.
Yes.
Christ.
Yes.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me, brought me out of sin and shame. He brought me out of sin and shame. Now stick your face out to somebody and say, He saved me.
He saved me.
He saved me.
He saved me.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord
saved me.
Praise the Lord. I want to pray this one.
Oh, yes.
Mother Evangelist Watson, always the Lord of strength and keeper. Sister Hicks, pray, Lord, just bless you and keep you.
Thank you. Have mercy, Father.
Lord, bless Evangelist Watson in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her with might by your spirit in the inner person, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Keep her in Jesus' name. Keep her in sound mind and health in the name of
Jesus.
Lord, bless Sister Hicks in Jesus' name. Lord, we love her. We praise God for you. Lord, we praise you for it. Lord, bless her. Keep her in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless her. Bless her. In the name of Jesus. Bless Elder Reed today. In the name of Jesus. Bless the core today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us again. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the man today. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless Elder Tiantra Ross. Keep her in Jesus' name. She's going over now to see her mother. Lord, bless India. Bless all of us, oh God. Keep us in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church and all the people. Lord, bless Brother Griffin, Sister Griffin today. In Jesus' name. Lord, we need you, oh God. Lord, you're our Father. Lead us, God. Keep us in Jesus' name. God bless this church and ask you. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, remember the master today. Remember Eliasha. Raise her up, Lord, off that bed of affliction, oh God. Lord, raise her up off that sick bed. Lord, I pray, Lord, send you a miracle working power, a miracle working power, the Holy Ghost, Lord. Send the work of the cross, Lord, and raise her up in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Ella Harrison today, oh God. Lord, add to her number. Keep her in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the people, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Mother Ware and Sister Ware, oh God. Keep them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Ella Jenkins, oh God. Lord, turn the Elder Sewell. Lord, this condition that she has, oh God. Remember Sister Nancy today. They have this condition. Lord, loose them from it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, set them free. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church and add to it. Lord, bless the word of God here. The spirit of God here. Glory to your name. Lord, we worship you and we glorify you. Lord, you are the great God and the mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the name of God is amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand today. Thank you for how you brought us. It's good to be out today. Good to be back in our formative Christian education at 10. We have a Christian education at 10. Might eventually take it back to 9:30, but right now I'm just starting at 10 as we get rolling back, coming out of this COVID era, so to speak. We're starting to set the seats back and move them, put them back in place. And go on in God.